Carl Calabrese, Republican strategist, is with us live on the Trocare College Lifeline on WBEN. Sweeping Trump victory last night, winning both the electoral and popular vote. Carl, how are you breaking this down? You were part of our coverage last night.
Well, what a night. I mean, if the Republicans hold the House, Susan, this will be the political equivalent of a grand slam walk-off home run. You've got the presidency, the Senate, the White House, the House of Representatives, and the popular vote. I mean, no one saw that coming, including me. I thought he would win and win the Electoral College, but not the popular vote. And so this was just a complete repudiation of the Biden-Harris administration and the Democrats. They've got some real soul searching to do, but you know the power of the economic issue, the power of the border issue, just overpowered everything else. The Puerto Rican joke, the abortion thing, and people voted their pocketbooks, and the border issue is tied into the pocketbook issue, and so voters really made their sentiments clear last night. I guess you can say, well, we shouldn't be surprised because 70 to 75% of the American people thought the country was going in the wrong direction going into the election last night. And this is what happens when you've got the electorate in that kind of mood, that kind of foul mood. They say it's time for a change. He was the change agent here. She tried to sell herself as not having anything to do with the past 4 years. That proved to be unsellable. She tried to sell herself as a political moderate, despite having a long career and public statements taking very far left positions. That was undoable as well. And the American people saw through both of those attempted arguments on the part of the Harris campaign.
Carl, you mentioned the word change there, and there's so many issues that we can try and pinpoint. Did this make the difference? Did that make the difference? Could it be as simple as an incumbency disadvantage? You have Germany, Britain, Japan, Italy, Australia, now the U.S., all within the past year of areas where the ruling party gets voted out of power. There's been, now it's three times in 8 years that's happened here in the U.S. Have we kind of switched to now it's an incumbency disadvantage?
Yes and no, Brian. I think you have to say incumbency / elite. Revolt. That's what we're seeing in Europe, and I think that's what you're seeing here. If you're an incumbent, you have a good record, you are more than likely going to get reelected. But right now, you've got people saying, you know, I'm just tired of the so-called experts telling me what to do, how I have to live, how I can cook, what kind of stove I can use to cook my food on, what kind of car I can drive. They're just tired of it. And having gone through COVID and listened to the experts has only accentuated that feeling of we've just got to put these people out to pasture. So I think when you look at it in Europe and here, it's not just an anti-incumbent, it's an anti-elite movement. And we see the elites in government, in business, in the media. And last night was the revolt of regular folks, the normies, as I called them on your show the other night. We certainly had a revolt of the normies last night.
What about the polling? You know, the polls had a neck-and-neck race. Does it appear that Trump supporters were undercounted again?
Absolutely, Susan. And this is, the third time now that the pollsters have failed to accurately poll Donald Trump supporters. Now, it may be that the shy Trump voter is still out there, people who just will not talk to an anonymous pollster on the phone and tell them what their true sentiment is. It's just safer to say, I'm undecided. I think that's still in play, but they're missing the turnout models. Donald Trump brings out people that normally don't turn out, and the pollsters still haven't come to grips with that fact. And until they do, they're going to continue to miss this Trump vote, which is going to continue into the future, even after he's gone. He's remade the Republican Party. The Republican Party is a totally different animal now than it was 10, 15 years ago. Basically, you've got the Democrats now, the party of the elites of the East Coast and the West Coast, the big business, big tech, entertainment, and everything in between those two coasts is the middle class, working folks. And that's where Donald Trump's sweet spot is. That's who he speaks to, and that's who responds positively to him. And so we're seeing a lot of things go on here. We're not only just seeing an election victory and you know, House and the Senate to follow, but we are seeing a major realignment of the parties. The Republican Party is now the party of the middle class, and the blue-collar, non-college-educated working person. And that's going to have some legs going forward. If the Democrats don't figure out how to start talking to those people again, they're going to have a lot of election nights like we had last night.
You know, it's interesting because I could see two different reactions if you are waking up this morning upset at the election results. I can see people saying that, you know, Harris tried to run a more centrist campaign, backing off a lot of her positions she held in 2019. And I can see people saying that, hey, that she should have leaned in, went a little bit more left. And then I could see people saying almost the exact opposite, that, you know, we've gone too far in some. Which side of that argument do you think is going to win out here over the next year or so?
Well, I know where the American people stand. The American people are still slightly right of center, not crazy right, but certainly not to the far left that the Democrats have gone into. And this is going to be a real problem within the Democrat Party because they've created a monster. They've created this progressive wing of the party, which, you know, has a lot of energy. It's where a lot of the money comes from, and they've been driving the party agenda. And they're not going to go away easily. I mean, people don't like to give up power. So any attempt to wrest back the political party from the progressive left is going to produce some real problems. We'll see how they handle that. But, she tried to cover up her very progressive record. I watched a CNN analyst this morning who immediately said, well, she lost because of racism and sexism. The only ism that was rejected here was progressivism. It had nothing to do with her race or her sex. It was progressivism and a long history of very radical positions, epitomized best by the commercial that has her saying in her own words that she favors taxpayer-funded gender-changing surgery for convicted felons in prison. If that isn't zany, I don't know what is. And, you know, it's tough to sell that to the American people.
Carl, thank you again for being with us last night and again this morning here on WBEN.